We read each verse and speak on it, then move on to the next verse. Our first verse is John chapter 19, verse 5. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Here we see how low and how humble the Son of God became when he became man. That he would be found wearing the crown of thorns, having been scourged by Pilate's soldiers, and mocked with a purple robe. And Pilate said, Behold the man. Little did he know that those very words are found in the Old Testament. Behold the man, that is the branch. Let us behold the Lord Jesus, the man. Hebrews 2 tells us three reasons why the Son of God became man. It tells us the Son of God became man, first of all, to restore creation. Hebrews 2:5 says, For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. The psalmist said this in Psalm 8, that it's to man that God gave the rule over creation. So even though angels are much more powerful than man, God did not give it to such powerful beings. He gave the headship of creation, dominion of everything, to man. So in order to restore creation under a head, the Lord Jesus had to become man, because our first head, Adam, failed, and creation has been fallen because of him. So to restore this terrible world in which we live, which is full of sin and sickness and death, the Lord Jesus, God's Son, had to become man, so that one day as the head of creation, he'll restore everything back again. The second reason he became man was to defeat the devil. Hebrews 2:14 says, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, the sentence upon us for our sins was death. The only way God could pay that sentence himself was that God would be manifest in the flesh as man, so that as man he could die. And that's why he became man, so that he could die and through that death destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil. The third reason he became man is to be a merciful high priest. Hebrews 2:18 says, For in that he himself hath suffered, been tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And so the Lord Jesus suffered everything known to man except sin. Every pain, every sorrow, every kind of suffering the Lord Jesus went through. And so that he could sympathize with us in whatever sufferings we go through. So that we could find in him all our comfort and all our sustenance in him. The Bible tells us there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So 1 Timothy 2:5 says that there is one mediator. We must behold the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Never a man was born like this man. Never a man lived like this man. Never a man spake like this man. And never a man, we can say, died like this man. The second verse I want you to consider is Matthew 12:18. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Matthew 12:18. God says, Behold the man, and now he says, Behold my servant. This is a quotation from Isaiah 42. And this was fulfilled when the Lord Jesus was baptized. Because God said, I will put my spirit upon him. And this happened at his baptism. The Holy Spirit came down upon him as a dove. God said from heaven, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Isaiah 42 was fulfilled. Verse 1, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. That was fulfilled at his baptism. And the Lord Jesus was the perfect servant of God his Father. He always obeyed. He never sinned. In every way he was tested, but found pure. Some years ago, in the country of Liberia, if you know where that is, it's in Africa, Liberia. They have two universities there. And for the first time, something strange happened. As you know, each year there are students who enter the university for the first time. This year, 25,000 students around the country sat their exams, all wanting to go to university to study all different kinds of subjects. Maybe some studying for medicine, some for law, or maybe to be an aeroplane pilot or anything like that. They all were sitting to study the exam. Not study the exam, but, you know, take the exam. And the strange thing happened is all 25,000 failed. It was reported in the news some 3-4 years ago. Every single student failed the exam. And for the first time, those universities had no first-year students. They can't lower the standards, can they? They can't say to the doctor, well, you didn't pass, you got almost there, we'll let you become a doctor. You don't want to be operated by a doctor who failed his exams. You don't want an advocate to do your work who failed his exams. And you won't get in an aeroplane if the pilot failed his exam. The standards have to be there, isn't it? God's standards are perfect. And the Bible tells us, not just 25,000, but it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Every one of us has disobeyed God. Every one of us is a sinner before God by acts of commission and omission, failing to do what is right and deliberately doing what is wrong. We're all sinners before him. If we want to be saved from our sins, we must behold the servant who never sinned, because he's the answer to our problem. The third verse I want you to turn to, you'll all know it by heart, I hope, John 1 verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. See, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he created everything, we can see. The Bible says that by him all things were created. And we think of how vast the universe is that he created. That they cannot even count the stars, because the Bible says they cannot be counted. They say there are 100,000 million galaxies, 100 billion galaxies in the universe. And in those galaxies, 100 million stars or 1,000 million stars. And when they keep looking more with their more powerful telescopes, they see even more galaxies. And light from the nearest star, Proxima Centauri, takes 4 years to reach us. And you think how vast the universe is. The Lord Jesus spoke it all into being on the fourth day of creation. Genesis 1 says, he made the stars also, and that was on the fourth day. So to create the world, the Lord Jesus just spoke one word, and all came into being. But in order to save us, it cost him his very life. He had to be silent as a lamb. He had to suffer like a lamb. Because the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Bible says it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. God wants us to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon, he lived very near to where we live a long time ago. And his college is just a small, short walk from our house. And I've been to the museum where it shows all about his life. He was very famous because tens of thousands of people were converted under his preaching. Near where we live, in the 1800s, was a famous building, the first glass building called the Crystal Palace. 1932, there was a fire, or 1936, there was a fire and all got destroyed. But it was a great exhibition center in the Victorian times. Charles Spurgeon preached there to 10,000 people in his day, without microphone or anything. So before the meeting was to start the following day, he wanted to test his voice and see how it would project into that huge auditorium. So he shouted this verse out, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And in the distance was a cleaner who was just sweeping up in that place. Cleaner or one of the workers there, and he heard that powerful verse of scripture shouted out from the pulpit. He stood where he was and he listened. Behold the Lamb of God. And that man on that very spot was saved. But it'd be great if somebody here, not saved, would just look to the Lamb of God now and be saved like that man. Our fourth verse is John chapter 19, verse 14. Back to the first passage we read, John 19, this time verse 14. Pilate speaking again. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. Again, Pilate, without realizing, was quoting from the very words of Zechariah chapter 9. Behold thy king. But they said in verse 15, Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Not only is the lamb, is he the lamb, but he's also the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Though he was rejected by this world and spat and mocked upon, the Bible tells us he is coming in glory and great power to this earth. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24, in the Olivet Discourse, that when the Lord Jesus comes, the very stars of heaven will be shaken out of their places. God says in the Old Testament and in Hebrews, in chapter 12, that he will shake not just the earth, but the heavens also. The whole universe will be shaken by God. And when the Lord Jesus comes, the very lights of the universe will be completely removed for a moment. And the brightest glory that will be seen in the heavens will be the Lord Jesus in glory and great power. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming. The one whom God raised from the dead and seated him in the highest place in heaven. In 1990 in July, I was reading the paper, and there was a story of two young girls, sisters they were, and they were in the Mediterranean Sea in a small boat, not just off the coast of Spain. They were in their little boat, but they got into trouble because sometimes the waves can be very, very high, and it just knocked the boat over, and both were in the sea, and they would have drowned. There was another boat going by, a rubber dinghy, and a man saw them and immediately dived in. And he took them one by one onto his boat where his men were, and they pulled them onto the boat and rescued them. And then he took them to his big yacht, to his big ship that was there in the sea. And these two sisters were taken on board. Then they saw the man who rescued them. He was the King of Spain himself. He was a very great man for racing boats on the sea. And what a surprise they had. King Juan Carlos himself was looking at them. All the Spaniards could say, Juan Carlos is our king. These two girls can say, Juan Carlos is our king. But they can also say, Juan Carlos is our savior. The Lord Jesus is King of Kings. But is he your savior? The Bible says, Behold the King. The fifth and last behold is in Revelation 5 and verse 5. Revelation 5 verse 5, And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. See, the day of grace is going to end in that day to come. When those seven seals are loosed of that scroll, then will begin the great tribulation and judgments upon this world. Day of the Lord will begin. Judgments will fall upon the earth. And the Lord Jesus is worthy to take that scroll, the title deed to this earth, and claim the earth for himself. All those who rejected him will be punished with everlasting destruction in flaming fire from the presence of the Lord. It will be terrible for those who are not saved to have to face the one of whom we read, Behold the Lion. I think the story is told probably in India a long time ago.
शायद भारतवर्ष में ये कहानी बताई गई थी.
In the days when the great white hunters used to come, and even Indian hunters with their guns to kill tigers. You know, it was a sport for the Maharajas and the Britishers and others. They would come and they used to like shooting tigers. This man had a big tiger in his sight, a magnificent beast. And as he was aiming the gun at the tiger, the gun jammed. The tiger heard the noise and saw the man. And the man ran for his life as the tiger came after him at full speed. He knew there was a hut in the jungle he could run to. He thought once he gets inside that hut, he'll be safe from the tiger. And as he reached the door would not open. It was locked. In moments, that tiger was upon him that tore him to pieces. Jammed gun and his torn body were all found by the locked door of that hut. See, the day of grace is coming, and the Bible pictures the Lord Jesus closing the door. And men will say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And you'll say, I never knew you. Terrible thing for those not saved to be locked out and to face the Lord Jesus in his wrath and judgment as the lion of the tribe of Judah. If you haven't been saved, it's our desire in this gospel meeting that you behold the Lord Jesus now. Behold him by faith. Come right now and just as you are to him. This is our earnest prayer. May the Lord bless his word.